How big data and predictive policing are showing up in communities across the country. From American Public Media, this is Marketplace Tech. I'm Kimberly Adams. Many law enforcement agencies use software that crunches crime statistics, 911 calls, and other data to try to predict where crimes are likely to happen. The idea is this can help them know where to deploy scarce resources. A recent investigation by Gizmodo and The Markup looked into one of the companies doing this, Predpol, and found the software disproportionately targeted certain neighborhoods. Aaron Sankin is a reporter with The Markup and one of the authors.
This system tended to produce predictions that were clustering in areas where Black and Latino and low-income folks live, while not suggesting that same level of scrutiny be given to areas where more white people or middle or higher income people live.
Which one could argue those are the communities that already tend to have an overrepresentation of police presence. What's different about what's happening with the software?
Fundamentally, whether an officer is at a location because they were just, this is just their own kind of preconceived idea of where they should be, or, you know, department brass told them to go to this location, or it was a computer program doing it, the ultimate effect is the same, is that there are going to be more police officers in a given area. And what that means is going to be different in each community. You know, there are some communities where I'm sure they want people, by and large, want more police officers. And there are other communities, as we've seen from, you know, last year's kind of wave of protests around the country, where people in these communities were not particularly happy with the level of police presence in their areas. And those, when police are in an area, and they often will have interactions with the residents of that area. And those interactions can turn negative. And when those interactions turn negative, they can have negative consequences for people. There's criminology research showing that if, you know, adolescent boys who are stopped by police, then in the future report higher levels of psychological and emotional distress, and then go on to engage in more deviant behavior. Or even things like having lots of police stops in an area could then lead to people in that area just being less likely to engage with the government at all, to do kind of basic civic services, like report to 311 that there need to be potholes filled in their communities.
Well, and it also ties into this conversation about algorithmic bias, because if that's what's feeding into the algorithm to determine where police should go, is this helping or is it reinforcing maybe pre-existing biases?
The idea behind a system like Predpol is that it's supposed to take kind of the individual bias of a given police officer out of the equation. Mm. There are issues around, you know, how not every crime that occurs and not every victimization that occurs becomes a piece of a crime report or a piece of crime data that's fed into this system. If a police officer is driving around a given area because they think there's crime there, they're more likely to, you know, see crime occurring, which then creates a crime report and generates more predictions than in areas where they wouldn't otherwise be. So I think all of those things acting in tandem are creating a push in one direction to, you know, if you're just looking at this data that is even outside of an individual police officer's set of biases, could still replicate the same kind of patrol locations that they had before.
And that doesn't even really take into account, you know, the crimes that occur out of public view, like domestic violence and many types of sexual assault.
Yeah. And that was something that we found as well. In our data set, we were able to see what crimes were being predicted for. And that's something that's set by each individual police department. And we had seen a number of police departments predicting for crimes like sexual assault. And then when we brought this and we reached out to Predpol and said, you know, hey, what's going on here? They said, this is not something that we advise our clients to use to predict. Because, you know, as you said, like these things aren't, these are happening outside of public view. It's not usually going to create like a large deterrent effect by sticking a police officer on, you know, down the block from where this is occurring. So I think to that point, like this is not exactly a blunt instrument that could be used for all types of crimes. And at the same time, we also found about four different departments using this to predict drug crimes, which is something that in, you know, previous public statements, PredPol's leadership has said they do not advise their clients to do, simply because, you know, there is a long history of racially biased enforcement of drug crimes. And, you know, they were, PredPol's leadership has said they don't want this happening, but we still found it happening at a handful of departments.
Can you give me a sense of how much software like this costs and the size of the industry overall, even beyond PredPol?
So in terms of PredPol, kind of looking at public contracting data, we found it, you know, ranging from somewhere around like $10,000 for smaller departments up into like the low hundreds of thousands of dollars for larger departments. But I think predictive policing, as PredPol does, and, you know, other companies that kind of do this kind of specific place-based thing, they're in a kind of larger subset of the kind of police technology industry. And the idea of taking in data about where and when and to whom crimes occur, and then using that to kind of inform how police departments can be proactive, is not something I think that is going away anytime soon.
I noticed in your piece that in this data you pulled, you also found evidence that this software is being used for other kinds of monitoring as well, like a protest in Bahrain and oil theft, I think, were the examples that you had.
Oh, yes. Yeah, we did find a couple sets of reports globally in Venezuela and Bahrain. We did not go and investigate those particularly deeply, simply because what we were really trying to limit our analysis on law enforcement in the U.S. But that data is there. And we did, in fact, find it. So that does suggest that this sort of technology is being used globally and in, you know, potentially in lots of different ways outside of just, you know, trying to prevent car break-ins in given cities across the U.S.
I can't let you go without asking this question. So how close are we to the movie Minority book and movie Minority Report, which is where people are getting arrested before they even commit the crime?
Well, so there's kind of two different parts of predictive policing, right? And fundamentally, they're really like two pretty different technologies that have the same, that kind of grouped under the same name, which is what we were looking for is we're looking at is really place-based stuff. So it's really just like you set where they think crime might occur. But there is, you know, another set of predictive policing technologies that do look at the individual, that, you know, look at trying to find who is going to be the next victim of crime or to be perpetrating crime. And those technologies have been used by police departments to, I think, very controversial and often fairly harmful uses. So, you know, I think it's hard to say where we are in that. I think anyone would be advised to have a healthy degree of skepticism about how effective, truly effective, you know, we can be in predicting basically anything. You know, as Yogi Berra said, it's hard to make predictions, especially about the future. And I think that's true for humans as well as algorithms.
Aaron Sankin is a reporter with The Markup. And now for some related links. We'll have a link to the full investigation on our website, marketplacetech.org. Heads up, it's a long read, but goes deep into how the team stumbled upon the trove of data that revealed these trends and the methodology, including formulas, the team used to measure the impact of these algorithms. We'll also have a link to PredPol's site, where the company says its software is being used to help protect one out of every 33 people in the United States. PredPol also says that by using a data-driven approach to deploy officers, communities are able to save money, increase transparency, and potentially reduce crime. And the company's CEO, Brian McDonald, pointed us to research showing crime tends to concentrate in specific areas and that helping police figure out where those areas are makes sense. Jesus Alvarado, Sasha Fernandez, and Stephanie Hughes produce our show. Gary O'Keefe is our engineer. I'm Kimberly Adams, and that's Marketplace Tech. This is APM.
With access to so much information, it's hard to feel like an informed, discerning citizen. That's why on Make Me Smart, which is a podcast from Marketplace, we make it easy for you to stay in the know. Hi, I'm Kai Rizdahl. Every weekday, Kimberly Adams and I unpack the latest from Washington, D.C.
The Senate Minority Leader has announced that he will step down as the Republican leader.
What's happening in AI? Don't buy at the top, but holy cow, artificial intelligence and all the companies related to it are the hot new thing. And we do the numbers.
So as a refresher, inflation is the rate of increase in the prices of things. It's not just sort of things getting more expensive. It's the speed at which things get more expensive.
Because in a world that's constantly changing, we all need to stay smart. Listen to Make Me Smart wherever you get your podcasts.